the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back in.
KU football beat Texas in football for the first time.
In football.
Since 1938. We're going to let you digest that stat, and we're going to bring in Nicole Auerbach, the national football and college basketball writer at USA Today, as well as the college football analyst for the Big Ten Network. She is the Jill of all trades. Nicole, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And yes, in football.
In football. We're talking about football. And with that, Charlie Strong, we have to talk about Charlie Strong. So on Monday, he had a press conference. He kind of sounded like he was trying to sell himself to keep his job. Players are talking about boycotting the senior night game. So we're going to start trend or trash. Should Charlie Strong be fired at the end of the season? Gemma.
I guess I'm going to trash the idea of him getting fired, but I think he probably will get fired.
Yeah.
No one listens to me or what I have to say about it. I have nothing to do with these
schools. I listen to you, Gemma. When you're right, I listen to you.
But I do think, even though I don't think this boycott is going to happen, I think it's kind of telling that so many players are behind him and want to keep giving this program a chance, you know, under Charlie Strong. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That shows a lot. I mean, I think people are just used to a quick turnaround. Mm-hmm. So when they show, when players show such a strong support for someone, it is very telling. So I mean, but that's just like the nature of it. So I don't know. I'm going to also trash the idea of firing.
Right.
And leave it at that. Just leaving it at that.
Nicole. Yeah.
Well, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to go with that side of it.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
You know, I mean, it was a really interesting press conference because, first off, like, I would never have been as composed and, like, professional if I'm up there being, like, basically trying to explain, like, why all the things I did, like, you know, I believe in, why I love my players, and academics were important.
Why you shouldn't fire me.
Yeah, and all that. You're laying all that out. Then you're talking about, like, how your family and, like, all your coaches, assistant coaches' families, like, are how difficult it is to, like, read all these reports and rumors and all these things going on. Like, I couldn't handle that. But, like, he obviously, and then he kept going back to the point, like, I mean, I know winning is important, and, like, that's what it is, and, you know, that's why these coaches make millions of dollars, and that's why they have million-dollar buyouts and all of that. So I really like Charlie Strong. I think he, like, is a really good person and a good coach. He will do well at his next job.
Sure.
But I'm going to go along with the side of it is time to fire Charlie Strong. Yeah. They lost to Kansas. The talent level and resource level at those two schools is so different.
Yeah.
That should never happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to bring up the fact that I went to Mizzou. I'm not even going to get into that. So
you just
brought it up.
So wait, so there's another side to this. The players potentially boycotting, rumors of
that. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, there's no way. Yeah.
No, and Charlie Strong got asked about that, and he said, like, first of all, that's not going to happen. Our players have too much respect for the seniors. They can get bowl eligible if they win. But, I mean, if you saw all the players at the end, like, hugging him and, like, greeting him after, like, they were all at the press conference.
Right.
Like, if he doesn't want them to boycott a game, they're not going to boycott
the
game.
Exactly. Like, I can't imagine him wanting them to
boycott. I also feel like they're going to kill TCU by, like, 50 points after this week. So they're definitely not going to pass that up.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of extra energy in that locker room. Okay, so we're going to switch to college basketball. It's obviously really early, so, you know, we can't really decide anything, but obviously, Duke, a favorite to go all the way. They have a lot of injuries right now. So is that going to affect them? Trend or trash, can they still go all the way? Do they have the depth?
Yes, I think that they will. And I saw them play Kansas in basketball.
Kansas wins again.
Yes. And so they won last week without three of their four freshmen. And these are, like, all potential first-round picks in the draft. And they all have different injuries, and, like, Harry Giles, probably my thing. So he just had his third knee surgery. Knees have been an issue for him, and I don't think they're going to really push him. Like, I don't think they're going to rush him back. I think they're going to bring him back maybe 10 minutes a game, like, enough to show the NBA, like, hey, like, this knee thing is not a huge issue.
Right.
But the other two guys, Jason Tatum and Marcus Bolden, are going to be, like, big integral pieces to this team. So the fact that they nearly beat Kansas, which is really good, and they have veterans, they have Josh Jackson as their star freshman, that shows me that they're going to be really, really good when they get two and three of these guys back. I mean, I just think that they have all the pieces, plus you throw in Grayson Allen and Emile Jefferson, who were both on the team that won 2 years ago. I buy Duke. They are a Final Four pick, and honestly, if I had to pick like a championship pick today, they would be probably my my champion pick too.
Really?
Ooh, we'll have to reference the tape later.
I'm gonna start getting all these tweets. Like,
we heard you say this. Yeah. Ash, any strong feelings?
I mean, I have the normal like strong feelings of any other fan. It's like, no, why? I'm so sick of it. Like, yeah. No, get out of here. Do I think they're going to make it to the Final Four? Yes, the same way I think the Yankees are going to make the playoffs every year, like postseason. Like,
that doesn't always happen.
It doesn't. But it feels so inevitable. Like, it's just going to happen. And so it's really like you pick your final three. You know, like, that's an automatic spot. Or really even final two, because KU's always in there too.
But Kentucky probably as well.
And Kentucky,
There's just one open spot.
Exactly. So I'm going to just trash it because that's just what people that didn't go to Duke do.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, no, that's exactly the opinion I also feel. Like, it's fine. I'm sure that Duke will make it, but I want to trash it now because we're going to have to trend it later.
Exactly, you know? Yeah, that's true. I mean, maybe not. Maybe I'll just trash it till the end.
I think it's really impressive, though. Like, regardless of the fact that they're always good, but come on, like, we're going to talk about the one-and-done rule in a second, but guys are getting hurt, guys are leaving, guys aren't eligible, they're doing things off the court they shouldn't be doing. So for you to have the depth at that level, I think that's really impressive.
Yeah, and it says something about the guys that stay because, you know, maybe they're going to have less minutes or points or things like that, but they're staying anyway because they're, like, buying in enough to the team and the program. And I just want to point out that I feel like you guys are, like, the kind of people that, like, hate Grayson Allen. and then when he trips a player, you're like, I knew it. Like, I hate Grayson Allen.
Yes.
But, so you'll be back next week, right?
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about this more next week. No, but we flip-flop in a understanding way for a lot of people.
Yeah, it just... It really just depends on our personal rages
sometimes
at the time.
Sometimes we like to get into each other, so sometimes someone will take like devil's advocate side, you know, like,
or if they didn't brush their teeth that morning, you never know what's going to come out of their mouths. That's the same for me too. Yeah,
bats.
Right.
Bats. I thought you said bats.
I did say bats, but I wasn't.
Oh, I heard facts.
That's way better.
Factual bats.
Factual bats. Yes. The things are happening. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the one and done. And obviously, Ben Simmons was pretty vocal about that. He didn't quite fulfill the student athlete. Entire name, the student part specifically. And so...
Got him.
Did I get it there?
Like at all. And
like at all.
He stopped going.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need to do this.
This has become a really big deal now. And so, obviously, Greg Oden is calling himself the biggest flop. You know, he was drafted before Kevin Durant, the number one overall pick. And look what Kevin Durant has done, and look what he's done. So do we need to rethink this? Is it really necessary to just have 1 year of eligibility and then ship them off? Nicole?
Well, it's not changing. I mean, this is an NBA rule, so, like, as much as college coaches do not like certain aspects of it, some like, parts of it, and there's always a question about, like, for example, Ben Simmons could have stayed in Australia, played in Pro League, and then hit the minimum age, and then could have gotten drafted in the NBA. But the reason you're seeing people like him, even though he had zero interest in going to class and also, like, got away with it because, like, he was suspended for, like, 4 minutes of one game because he, like, wasn't going to class.
Really tough punishment.
And, I mean, you could tell that there was a lot of dysfunction going on with LSU last year. But the fact that he wanted to come the college route and the exposure, and it didn't matter that his team was terrible and there was a lot of dysfunction and that he had a film crew following him around the entire year because he still got drafted really high made a lot of money. So, like, until there's, like, other avenues, like the D-League got restructured, and I know they're restructuring some of the salaries, like, if that became a really viable alternative, then people would do that instead of going to college and, like, having to be a student athlete and, like, go to school for 7 months, which is what, like, the Kentucky players do, and they do go to class that second semester so that it doesn't hurt the team's APR, which, like, has to do with retention and stuff like that. So it's all just, like, a game. I mean, it's you're going the bare minimum, and then some, maybe very few of these, like, one-and-done guys eventually finish their degree, you know, like, when they have breaks in the NBA season or whatever it is. The problem is it's just not going to change because the NBA, it benefits them to have them one more year mature and ready.
Yeah.
Two would be even better, but they're not going to go that direction. They don't want to have to recruit these guys in high school gyms and go back to straight out of high school. I mean, it's not changing. And so you have someone like Ben Simmons who kind of just exposed some of the academic farcical elements of it.
Yeah, he did.
But people already like assume as much about one and done. Right. Like, why would you keep going to class?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. There's no need. And I get like that argument of that article that we read.
Right.
Yeah, I get it. Like, of course, Coach K is gonna be mad that not everyone can stay around as long as he wants them to.
Right.
So he can mold them and whatever. Is it beneficial that they stay and are molded by someone like Coach K? Yes, of course.
Right.
But is it realistic that you're going to deny these kids actual money and a future in the NBA?
To change their lives, help their families. Like,
what if they get injured?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. There's so many things. What if you missed your one opportunity because you got injured because you had to stay a little bit longer. So while it might benefit some people, I feel like it's not a big enough issue to change. There's not enough benefit to change it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think like what you said, it does benefit the NBA. And what I really liked the idea of restructuring the D League in some way to maybe serve this purpose of maturity in a way.
Or if you're really
not
interested in school at all, you don't have to.
Because it is farcical that you're just never going to go to class and pretend to be a student athlete. But if really the issue is fixing like other emotional issues or like just being a little bit more of a grown up, honestly, why not restructure the D League? I think that's a really good idea. I just don't know that anyone will put resources toward it.
Right, and the problem would also still be exposure. They'd have to like maybe get a better deal. But like, if you don't have any interest in going to school, like there should be another possibility. And if you do need money, like if your family is really poor and you do want to start making money immediately, like that's why the D-League, like in theory, would work.
Yeah,
but
I mean, because then you'd have to do this whole thing where you have to set it up sort of almost to compete with college basketball. Say, watch these games instead, you know?
Because right now it's just the unofficial, like, minor leagues of basketball. So, like, I mean, theoretically you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if people will. I also think we need to rename it because I don't think the D-League is
it's a really
no. Exactly.
I just think about getting grades. D really great doesn't even get
you
passing.
At least in baseball you get to be
like,
triple
A,
right?
That's
three A's.
All A's.
That's so great.
Yeah. How do they even come up with that? Like, D is for developmental league. Yeah, like, that sort of makes sense, but, like,
there has to be other
A's
words.
It's just,
another,
you know, a trick. Because high A sounds great. It's not great, though.
No, it's not great.
Not great.
It's very, very true.
We might have to come up with a new name for them, suggested. So something that I'm thinking, though, is, okay, so we talked about they don't necessarily have the skills to do the right things with their money. They don't maybe aren't making the best decisions because they're kids. Like when it comes down to it, they're still kids. And some of the skills you learn in college, not even in class, just like life skills, they're not necessarily getting. And I feel like if you listen, like how long is the time span, the length of these guys' careers, right? Really, unless you're Kevin Durant, you know, you're these top of the line guys, your career is not really that long. And you don't know how to manage your money. You don't know what you're doing. And then you spend it all, and then you don't have a backup plan. And then how many of these guys are bankrupt, in jail? Some of these guys are homeless. Like, so I feel like there has to be something in between. There's, like, if you really care about, and they don't care about the people. And that's, we talk about this, too, in the NFL. You don't necessarily care about the person. You care about the product.
Right.
And the product is making you a lot of money at
that time. I think basketball, basketball is a very progressive league. Especially in comparison to football. I can't really see football doing anything. If they do a program, it's like, here's a piece of paper, here's a door. This is your money management class that no one shows up to, but they say, we have it.
Yeah,
so if you want to like do it, you can. Mm-hmm. But I think basketball, if they're not already in the works with something already, will actually have a great program. I believe that they would. I don't know. It's much different.
I think they try, but it's different when you go for a week-long thing and you hear things and then forget about the next week. Like,
mm-hmm. It really is like the agent's responsibility, truly.
Yeah.
Even though it's
babysitter.
And to say you can't pay for this person's house. Like, you can't do that and keep just giving them money and as an allowance almost. Like, so I think that theoretically, in a perfect system, if you're thinking about the best interests of the NBA and college basketball, a 2-year minimum, and then you would hope that these schools, and a lot of them do now, kind of offer life skills type classes, right? Budgets and have your laundry and all
the basics,
all of these things, so that you wouldn't be necessarily making such bad decisions with money. And then you're 2 years of maturity, you're way closer to a college degree because these guys stay through the summer.
Right.
And then when you get drafted, the teams like about are you're a veteran, you're experienced, you have some leadership skills, and either you have your degree in hand or it's going to be really easy to finish up, and then you avoid some of those issues. problem is that's never going to happen. But no. That's like my ideal.
Yes.
So yeah, if people want to reach you, if they want to hear more about this plan that you've got, right, they can find
I'll
you.
I'll come up with a good name.
Yeah. We'll work on the name.
Yeah. D-League, money management.
Or I'll just, like, insert myself in, like, the collective bargaining agreement on the conversations. It'd be, like, 2 years.
They should listen. They should. So we're going to bounce back to college basketball now. Michigan State narrowly... Wait, do you like that? Bounce back? Yeah, you like what I'm doing today? I'm there.
That's top of it.
Yeah. Narrowly beating Florida Gulf Coast. I mean, like, we usually don't hear about Florida Gulf Coast until playoffs, right? Until
March Madness.
Until March Madness. So there was clock controversy. I don't really care about that as much as, one, the implications if Michigan State would have lost this game early in the season to such a, I mean, you say unranked, but, I mean, it's Florida.
Tiny, small.
You know, who are you? Yeah, the Eagles, Nicole. Yes.
I think that's more alarming than the fact that they lost their two season opening games. Mm-hmm. They lost Arizona, then they got killed by Kentucky. And they look shaky. I mean, Miles Bridges is really good. Like, he's their star freshman. And, like, he'll have good games. Like, he'll have – but they got to figure out a lot of different other things. They lost some veteran guys and, like, Denzel Valentine. But they should not be losing to Florida Gulf Coast, especially not this time of year. Like,
yeah, sure.
Part of the reason that teams like Florida Gulf Coast are really good in March is because they're usually filled with, like, older guys who played together for a few years.
Stuck around.
Like, have their, you know, like just are clicking, and they've played years and years together. So, you know, maybe that's the case. But they peak later in the season if that's, you know, what you're usually seeing. That's why you see those upsets then. And this is, like, a low major team. This isn't even a mid-major. This is a league that never gets two teams in. And there's a huge drop-off because of RPI and all different things.
People know about their league because of Florida Gulf Coast.
Yes. And they know, like everyone Googled, like, where they were.
Right.
And, like, all of that stuff. Yes. Like, their website crashed or whatever. School. Like,
Dunk City.
Yes. Dunk City was a big deal.
Yeah.
And the reason it was such a huge upset when they won was because they're in such a bad league that is just so far off the radar for these kinds of upsets during the season. So, like, you don't lose by games. And I know, like, teams do. Georgetown just did. They lost to Arkansas State. Mm-hmm. But Michigan State, like, you don't do that. Like, we know sometimes, like, you know, it's rough. You have a brutal schedule in the start of the year and it pays off later. But, like, this is not part of the brutal schedule. This was, like, the good part of the
schedule. This is the cupcake.
It's sailing.
Right. Any burning thoughts? About it. Did you enjoy almost seeing them lose? Seeing a team like that be able to top
such a
powerhouse?
I usually always do. I don't know why I do know why I like Michigan State, because my boyfriend likes Michigan State. So every once in a while I'll be like, oh, like every time March Madness comes and we're doing brackets. It's like, well, we'll see how. Let's put Michigan State a little bit further.
Last year that probably didn't turn out well.
My bracket was garbage day one. I mean, that's most people's brackets, but last year that was out of control. That was in, they were pretty far. So after that,
15-2 upsets.
Yeah, my
gotta love them.
Immediately busted. Yeah, you can't win them all, and I've never won. But no one has. So I don't know. I really don't feel any indifference. Yeah, because they're likable. But it's
really
so early.
Nice.
It's so early.
It is.
Like,
right.
So these things are kind of fun, and you don't think anything of it, and then you go on. But the whole controversy of it afterwards was the most interesting part.
Yeah.
Because I would have thought nothing of it, just like, oh, well, Florida Gulf Coast won. That's great. You know, like, and that would be it. But because of this whole, temper tantrum situation.
Well, so. And I mean, because that makes a huge difference.
I get it. Yeah, exactly.
You know, like in their resume.
But because of that, you it comes to life.
And you feel bad.
Oh, here's the thing.
You feel bad for the little guy. You're like, oh.
Yeah.
Of course. You did it.
Yeah, you should have done it.
Yeah. Why didn't you do it?
It's sort of like in football, Central Michigan, like, beat Oklahoma State because of, like, that extra play that shouldn't have happened.
Right.
And now Oklahoma State's, like, running around being like, Mike Gundy's like, we only have one real loss. And I just love the Big 12 when they, like, make references to, like, numbers because they're, like, one true champion, whatever two. Like, Big 12 math is one of my favorite things.
Oh, my goodness.
So
We should have a class.
More classes.
Yeah. I just, like, love controversial endings. Just, like, because this one's, like, rearing its ugly head, like, 2 months later. This one will, too.
Yeah,
Florida Gulf Coast is, like, kind of on the bubble.
Sure.
Like, we'll be, like, talking about this controversial finish again.
Yes.
And they never go away.
Yeah. True. Gemma?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really...
Gemma, you're from Michigan.
I am from Michigan. My dad went to Michigan State.
Yeah.
Many other members of my family went to University of Michigan, though, so... And I went to neither, so I have no particularly strong opinions about either, but...
Okay.
My dad is a big Michigan State basketball fan. That's the sport that
his heart was probably pounding
from the school.
Yeah,
he gets really into it. He sent me a lot of very impassioned text messages. Yeah, that, so
that's nice. Yeah.
But overall, happy.
Well, overall, and happy. Cause, yeah, his opinion is just like, well, that's how it was supposed to be. Like,
right, Dad. So
right now it's not anything, but if something when it inevitably comes up and we all have to talk about it again, then I'm sure there'll be stronger takes about
We should have a new segment now. What's with that? College basketball.
She's just calling my dad.
Yes.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah, I like that.
Gemma's dad is great. Love Gemma's dad.
Gemma's dad, what do you think?
Yes. This was and probably just, the like, better week to do it, considering all the controversy and the losses. This would be the one.
You gotta start somewhere, I guess.
We'll cross our fingers for more controversy.
Only had a time machine.
So I have two brothers who are diehard State fans. One is married to a Michigan fan.
Yeah,
so it's really fun.
It happens.
Yeah,
it does. It does.
House divided. Yeah. But I actually didn't hear from them, probably because they are still holding their breath. I'm not sure that they've taken one yet.
Or they were too busy like talking to each other.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like back and forth, hundreds of texts exchanged, freaking out. Unbelievable. I mean, especially after Michigan State's football season, they need the basketball.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They need it very badly. So I'm just happy that it turned out this way. But I love a good upset. I love watching that, and I think that is what makes sports so great, is when you see a team like Florida Gulf Coast who comes out of nowhere, from nowhere, and is like, what up, Tom Izzo? Like, we're here. We're ready to play.
So one other interesting, like, early upset that comes to mind, like, I'm a Michigan grad, so I watched it, but other people did too, when NJIT upset Michigan at home 2 years ago, if I have that right. And that game, plus a couple of other upsets NJIT had that year, they were not in a conference. And, like, they were abandoned, and, like, they had a hard time scheduling. And, like, I went to NJIT and Trenton and, like, did a story and all that. But, like, that game, the fact that they beat Michigan, like, really helped them get into, actually, the Atlantic Sun with Florida Gulf Coast. They're in the same league
They're
now.
Friends.
But it's, like, so that's the difference. I mean, Florida Gulf Coast obviously has a league and, like, has won has gotten to the NCAA tournament through this conference. But it can be a huge thing to actually pull off the upset. Like, it really does have, like, major ramifications, which their buddy NJIT knows.
Yeah. They're best friends. They're probably rooting for it.
They shared, like, Player of the Week honors, so practice.
We love a good underdog story.
Clearly. I mean, like, it's like forward you guys, like, Player of the Week.
Yes,
you know?
Send
like,
that back.
Kansas was the team of the week for their upset of,
It's hard to feel the same for them, you know? Like,
I have to tell you.
But it's Kansas football. They haven't won a game in 2 years.
I know it's Kansas football. It's
on my Facebook feed, it's based, so if you go to Mizzou, you don't capitalize the K. Like people are very, they're so.
You all need to relax.
Yeah, people will not capitalize the K in KU. Like when they, anything. I think I get text, anything that is written out, the K is not capitalized.
That's like how it's Michigan Ohio State Week. And I've already seen that everyone's crossing out the M's all over campus.
Oh.
Yeah.
They won't use them. I think they can use it in conversation. They just can't write.
You can't write
the letter M this week.
Well, you perfectly segued, and so
I love the conversation to omit all M's.
Cross them out.
Yeah, we all just omit, so we're done.
To be able to say them.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Always. And no, RSTLNE. Okay, I was checking the Wheel of Fortune.
Oh yeah.
Anyway,
to win it.
Let's talk about this game. Like, is this the biggest game of the season? Is it the biggest game for Michigan? They lost in Iowa last week or 2 weeks ago, lost their undefeated season. Big deal. Now, you know, they're heading to Ohio State.
So I would say it's the most important game of the season. The Apple Cup, Washington State, will also be pretty huge this year. And those are both two rivalry games that have not been that meaningful in a long time. And especially like Michigan, Ohio State, the last time they were this good and that like a lot was at stake for both of them outside of like one of them could spoil something for the other was 10 years ago when they were 1-2. So it's phenomenal. I'm really excited. I'm going and I get to be there for this.
Are you working or are
working?
You...
Yes.
Okay. Working.
And it's going to be, I mean, because theoretically, although even the team that loses might still stay in the playoff race a little bit, like it depends how everything else falls.
Right.
So it's not as meaningful as like, I was hoping both would be undefeated, right? So then you have, like, so much at stake if you're not in the conference championship game. Can you still get into the playoff? And that's still Ohio State's, like, challenge. They're saying, like, if we beat Michigan, our only loss is Penn State, we can't get to the championship game, like, what will the committee still put us in? And that'll be a really interesting test because we only have 2 years of data of the college football playoff. And so far, everyone who's gotten in won their conference. But Ohio State would have to be put in as, like, we think they're one of the four best teams in the country. And if they play well against Michigan, they will have a case for that. The committee seems to really like them and the way they play. And I think that they would have a strong case. Michigan, they win out, they're in the playoff. But if they win this game, they're in the Big Ten championship game. So, like, it's pretty clear on their side. And then if they lose to Ohio State, Penn State goes into the Big Ten championship game. Whoever is on that from the east side is going to play Wisconsin, also a really good team. Yeah. Their only losses are Michigan and Ohio State. So, like, there's just so many interesting scenarios and, like, also potential for, like, two Big Ten teams making the playoff. But, like, the game itself, literally the game, like, has not been this big in 10 years. And so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you've got, like, questions about Michigan's quarterback being healthy. And neither of those two teams looked very good this past weekend.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that there hasn't been this much hype and attention. I mean, like, they were crossing off those M's, like, immediately, like, Saturday night.
Say goodbye.
Yeah, this will help. This little thing will help us.
Doing their best, yeah.
We're going to move on.
That can't be neutral.
I can't be neutral. Yeah. One more thing. The NFL, we're going to talk about the game in Mexico City, the Raiders and the Texans. The Raiders get home field advantage for this. There's, like, a lot of issues, but the main ones I want to focus on are the safety and the pollution that's going on. So Azteca Stadium is even higher up at sea level than Mile High Stadium in Denver. So the masks and the pollution. And there's also a memo that was sent out basically saying, don't leave the hotel and don't eat outside of the team meal room. Don't order room service. Just sent to the teams. So we'll get back to trend or trash. Obviously, the NFL is trying to expand. They're trying to do a lot of things right now. Maybe they're trying to do too much. But trend or trash, the idea of them moving to a place that maybe is not the safest just to continue to put a bad product on the field. Gemma.
Ooh. I trash this because, as we've discussed many times on this podcast, there are so many issues the NFL needs to fix right now with what people are like. Their ratings are down. And the solution may be to expand to London and to Mexico City to have people, audiences that don't normally watch the game. But it's like, if people who are already reliable watchers are checking out, why do you think other people are going to want to watch 1,000 flags? No one wants to see that.
Yeah.
So I think that is the issue before even any issues of expansion.
Right.
Is make the game watchable and safer for players who are already playing today without adding additional issues of saying, like, clearly we have security issues with the stadium and the town around it, like that.
Right.
It's just, why would you add all of these additional headaches when you already have so many problems with what is currently in existence?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Ash?
I don't like the fact that they're doing it Monday night because you're already making people travel very far. Mm-hmm. Sure, it's better than London. Actually, I don't even know the exact distance. So I can't say it's better, but
it would depend on where you're coming from.
Exactly, it would depend.
Time zone is probably better.
Time zone, there you go. That's already a benefit. And it's pretty equal, it's pretty close. But anyways, doing it on a Monday, it's hard enough for people that go to London on a Sunday.
Right.
They have to come back. And
that's a good point.
They're not going to be doing a Thursday night game, of course. But still, like, coming back around on that Sunday, getting ready for that, you know, is annoying. Also, yes, why?
Why?
I don't understand why. There's too many other things going on here. I'm already sick of the London games, and now we're doing, like, Mexico. What are we doing next year?
Does it feel like it's kind of like, let's just pick a place?
Yeah.
Well,
it's silly.
I don't see. It's like when there's random basketball games or stuff in China or Australia, football games in Australia. Like,
Or like baseball games in Australia, sending a team so far.
That's early. That's preseason.
Yes. Yeah, that's not, different.
That makes sense.
When it matters.
Ignore me.
But, like, I'm much more concerned about the safety things, and you're putting people in a place, you're telling them not to do room service. Like, this is already a league that doesn't really care about concussions and player safety. Like, really, like, let's put that, just rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah.
Plus, like, I was in Rio for the Olympics, and, like, there were obviously safety concerns and things going on there. But, like, the basketball teams stayed on a boat. Like, they were safe. They were able to, like, eat and, like, drink the water.
The
They don't have
bottled water.
Well, they might have. But, they had a system in place that was going to be safe for those athletes.
Yeah.
And, like, if they don't hear, like, that's not the right place to be playing a game.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just watch real football.
Yeah.
being the worst, like the worst hipster. Football. By which I mean with the U and a
B-O-L. Or food ball.
Yeah.
Okay, so Nicole, we want to get to know you a little bit. We so appreciate you being here. We
are.
We no, actually, we are. This is very, this is great. Favorite coach of all sports that you've worked with?
That's a tough one. So, like, the basketball coaches are terrific across the board. Like, super easy to get a hold of. Like, they pick up if you call and, like, super nice. And, like,
it's nice.
Yeah, it's unlike other sports. So, I'm going to give you a couple because I can't choose.
Sure.
Tom Izzo's way up there. He always jokes that, like, as if, like, I'm very professional. Like, he,
of course.
You know, like, he likes to make fun of the fact that I went to Michigan. So, he, like, wants to get me, like, a half maize, half green
t-shirt. Oh, that's so cute.
So he loves me, but he's great. And I also really like John Beilein. So I always like try to visit with both of them when I'm back in Michigan.
Yeah.
But Jay Wright, like I could not have been happier for a coach to like win their first national championship. Mm-hmm. He was the first coach that like so when I got my job and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's 350 coaches and teams. And like, I'm never going to be able to get to know people and like, do this job. He was the first coach that like I covered, you know, like he was on a panel and I, you know, introduced myself afterwards, like, if you ever come through Philly, like, have lunch, I'll introduce you to my staff, et cetera, et cetera. And, like, I was like, okay.
So nice.
Like, I can do this. Like, I can do this. Yeah. And he was like, he's like, you're a Jersey girl. I'm married a Jersey girl. I know. I already know. All I need to know. You know, like, he was just
the
so great. Like, yeah. So,
really nice.
So that was, like, the first, like, okay, I can do this. Like, and he's just been terrific. Like, I was with them at 2 in the morning after they got back to their team hotel.
Aww.
And, like, it's, like, sitting down with, like, him and his wife, like, celebrating, like, eating a burger. Like, it was just, like, really, so, like, those two jump out to me. But honestly, like, really, so many, like, Tim Miles at Nebraska.
Yeah.
Who, if you're not following on Twitter, you should.
Great.
Okay.
Great
so
follow.
Funny.
Good to know.
Yes.
Good to know.
He is so funny, and he is, like, the goofiest person I've ever met.
Oh.
And, like, so it's just, like, really nice, because I feel like with college basketball coaches, like, you actually can really get to know them.
Cool.
They also, like, don't hate the media.
That's
is,
great.
Like, always a plus. And, like, they'll, like, grab a beer with you and stuff, and you're like, okay, this is not, like, a football coach, because they're, like, crazy.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
Like, spend too much time in a film room.
Yeah.
Basketball coach is not like that.
Favorite arena?
I would have to go Cameron.
Okay.
But I do have a few on my list that I still need to hit. Like, I still haven't seen a game at Allen Fieldhouse. Like, I've been there, but it was empty, so it's not the same.
Quite the same. I think I've done that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I still have also never been to the Palestra, which I also would love to go to.
So how many have you been?
Like, a good amount.
Okay.
But like, I don't always travel just for a game. Like, sometimes it's, like, to do a feature or whatever. So, sometimes you catch a game, sometimes not.
Sure.
That's been the issue with Kansas.
Okay, okay,
like,
okay.
I've been there plenty of times. It's, like, I just haven't been there, like, in season when they've also had a game.
Got it.
So.
I feel like we should talk to your boss. should be some coordination going on here.
You can call him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all for that. No, but the Cameron's awesome because, like, you're right on the court.
And,
like,
oh, nice.
Like, you literally are told, like, don't bring an expensive jacket, but bring a blazer because, like, there will be people with their stomachs painted, like, leaning against you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, and, like, if you're in a good mood, like, you'll let them charge your phone at halftime or whatever. But, like, they are right on your back because there's not a separate row. Like,
really?
They're standing. Like, they don't sit. So, like, if they sat, they'd be right behind you.
Right.
So that is pretty cool, though. And I was there, like, when Jim Boeheim, like, got ejected and, like, tore off his coat. And, like, so, like, I've been there for some good games. So that's number one for now with the caveat of, like, I've kind of missed two, like big college basketball venues.
Oh, yeah.
You'll get there, I have no doubt in my mind.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm hogging the questions. Do you guys have any?
What is your favorite storyline so far this year that you've gotten to report on?
Football or basketball or
pick out of one
football.
For each. One
football.
For each.
Football. Okay.
Or one for each.
Football.
Okay. That's also new.
Well, yeah, basketball like the season just started.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think like the Duke storyline honestly is the most interesting. Like, can they mix again and like get a national championship? Also, like, just an aside on Villanova, like, they're also like really likable again. And so Chris
we like them again.
Chris Jenkins, who like obviously hit the shot, is still there, and so is Josh Hart, like their best player. And I talked to them in like September, and Josh was like telling me how like Chris is like everyone recognizes him now, and he's like sometimes like in the TSA line, I'll just yell, "Is that Chris Jenkins who hit the shot to win the national championship?" And then I'll run away, and then like,
oh.
That's him. And I was like, I love you guys.
I want to see that so bad.
So they're really like easy to root for. Also, I did a story a couple weeks ago on Butler, and they went through
back-to-back-to-back tragedies. Obviously, Andrew Smith had the very public battle with cancer. Then one of their assistant coaches, his six-month-old son, got sick with terminal illness and died at 8 months, like 2 weeks after Andrew Smith. And then Joel Cornette, who was like the face of Butler when they kind of like emerged as like a mid-major darling and national team, died like suddenly of a heart condition in August. And so they like, I did a story kind of talking about like how do you go through that? And like, also like, it just feels like you're getting punched in the chest like over and over and over again. But also like how the community kind of like wrapped themselves around like the family members of everyone involved in those, and so they're like, I'm pulling for them. I mean, you know, I root for people and teams that I like, and that is such a hard thing. Like, I can't imagine, going through all of that and just like waiting for like your luck to turn at some point and like not get these awful diagnoses. So football storylines, that's really downer, sorry.
That's okay, that's all right.
But football, well, also like sort of, but like much more uplifting. James Conner at Pitt, he had cancer. Mm-hmm. So he got injured right in the first game last season. And he was coming off like ACC Player of the Year, like had a huge game as a running back, a huge season. And then he gets injured and out for the year in the first game. And like, it's crushing. And I remember like, it was just really fun to watch. So I was like, oh, that sucks. And then, you know, he's rehabbing towards the end of the season. And he's, like, trying to kind of come back if they have a bowl game. And then he finds out that he's out of breath. And he's, like, he's not sleeping well. And he's, like, sweating, whatever. And his face is swelling. And he can't figure it out. Start running through some tests and finds out he has cancer. Yeah. He has Hodgkin's lymphoma. And he, stage 2. So they find this out. He calls a press conference. And he has to tell his teammates. And, like, everyone's crying. And then he calls a press conference and everyone's like, oh, he's going to declare for the draft.
Yeah.
And then he's like, just kidding. Like, I actually have cancer. And I'm getting, you know, like he had gotten tested or whatever and they had already found spots. And he was like about to start chemo like a month later. And so it was just this like, oh my gosh, like the nicest kid.
Yeah.
Like worked so hard to come back.
Sure.
And was like basically healthy with the knee injury. But now, so I spent some time with him like about a month after he finished all his chemo treatments and he's cancer free and he played this season. He's actually had a terrific season.
It's amazing.
And he's like the ACC leading rusher, like most touchdowns ever.
Awesome.
In a career. And they obviously like Pitt had a huge upset of Clemson and like he, I think, filmed a video or dedicated something. Like he inspires a lot of cancer patients in the Pittsburgh area.
How could he not?
Nationally.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So he like sent a little message. So he is phenomenal and like it was just so I did a story on him in June and he talked about all this, like, saw the scans and, like, all the masses going away. And he talked about how, like, that knee injury, which he thought was, like, terrible, like, the worst thing ever, like, saved his life. Because if he had had, like, wasn't sleeping or, like, wasn't doing well in the weight room, like, he would have worked through it before instead of being, like, wait, something's wrong because he was, like, rehabbing.
Yeah.
So it was, like, fascinating. He has, like, all these tattoos over his body, which mean different things. And he has one, like, on his shin, like, right below where the incision was for the knee surgery.
Yeah.
Like, and it's, like, a Bible verse, and it's, like, about... Oh, it's just he's just an incredible person, and he's so inspiring, and so I've just been pulling for him all season long. So it's just amazing to see that he's had such a great year after beating cancer and, like, playing at such a high level, and then also, like, they had the big upset, and, like, their season was made, and so that's my favorite college football story, like, hands down. And there are some other awesome ones, but that is just a phenomenally, like, uplifting and inspiring story.
Yeah. Jesus, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Well, and to, like, physically be able to do that.
No.
Like, his last chemo treatment was in May.
Right,
and
people don't realize.
Still a child.
Right.
Yeah. Not even an adult, really. Oh, my
God. No.
But, like,
to have to, and then, like, get hit in a football game.
Yeah,
like, although he was like, I mean, that's not really that, like, scary. Like,
no,
after
I'm
you're,
sure
like,
I was like.
Right. Yeah, no big deal.
Like, hit me.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been through way worse. You don't even want to know.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
So, Nicole Auerbach, thank you so much for being here today. You are a national college football and basketball writer for USA Today and a college football analyst for the Big Ten Network. So many things. It's a mouthful. That's a mouthful to say. It's a very impressive title.
Sorry, I have two jobs.
You have two very cool jobs, and we appreciate you taking so much time to be with us today and talk about some of these topics.
Yeah, my pleasure. Anytime.
Come back, please. We would love to have you.
Yes. Yeah. Well, basketball.
Okay.
We'll go out in the middle to end of basketball.
We'll check back to everything you said.
Oh, yeah. We'll see about those.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Now the 2-2. Well hit.